Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 13th, 2021. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Text me first. Thank you. Text me first. That way we get around the robocalls, because I might not answer right off if I don't recognize the number. You can always find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. All the information in our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program with Simulcast live on net, internationally on YouTube, podcast on some FM. So pray for supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base worldwide, places like Warsaw, Poland, Sydney, Australia, Hong Kong Island, Hong Kong, and of course cities in the United States such as Kansas City, Missouri, Oakland, California, Arlington, Texas, and this week, hey, Paris, France is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they go to podcasts later on tonight. By the way, folks, we ask you to send us an email to radio at Messiah's Branch, or just text me on the phone. Let me know what city you're hailing from, especially if we've never mentioned your city before. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Branch70. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please, please, please give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to have one of our favorite radio guests on tonight. That's Pastor Carl Gallus. He is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host that has been heard nationally and internationally all around the world. You know, and same way with TV, and he's a radio guest commentator, former decorated law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. He also has his own radio program. In fact, two of them, one of them on Sunday morning, I think it's called Ask the Pastor. And then he has Freedom Fridays, which is a really great program. And it's on what day? Fridays, right? Okay, he's written 11 books now, and he's in the process of writing another one. But The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Masquerade, and The Summoning. Welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you with me?
Pastor Dan, I'm here, and I'm honored to be with you, always.
Well, I'm honored to have you on. And, you know, as you know, and I say it over and over, there's a lot of people in my listening audience, especially, you know, I get my podcast stats, you know, that's how I tell that you know, people are listening and where at. The podcast stats always go up higher when you're on the radio program. So I do, and I have been emailed. I know people listen because they love to hear what you got to say. Back to you.
Well, brother, I don't have the words, believe it or not. That is surreal to me and an honor. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, there's a lot of things going on. We hear crazy things. Like this one crazy thing, you can comment it or not, that I noticed just today that blew me away. But I do want to talk about Israel and what's going on over there. But I saw this video, actually, that when people get this shot, you know, the so-called vaccine, that they're taking magnets and sticking on the spot where they got a shot, and the magnets are sticking. And so that means there's some kind of metal, if you will, in the shots, and that it goes away after a while, you know. The effect does, as whatever it is disperses into the bloodstream. Isn't that lunacy? What do you think?
Okay, here's what I think. I saw several of those videos myself very quickly, just watched them. I can tell you as a former criminal investigator that something like that would be easy to fake, and it would be easy to kind of get a fad going around of videos with people sticking magnets to their arms where they got the shot, if they got a shot. I mean, it's just, there's so many questions that need to be asked. Now, listen. I am not in favor of this vaccine, and you know that. So would it surprise me if after a forensic investigation we discovered that these videos were all true and they weren't faked, and that there actually is something in the vaccine that causes a magnet to stick to your arm? It wouldn't surprise me in this world. But just as far as me watching a few videos, seeing what looks with my eyes to be a phenomena of magnets sticking to unknown people's arms on whether or not they really had the vaccine, you know, I'm a little doubtful. But, again, I leave room to be corrected here. I leave room to be shocked and surprised because we live in a crazy world. And listen, it would be possible, I suppose, to deliver some type of a piece of well, in order for a magnet to stick to your arm like that, it would have to be fairly sizable, I would think. But it would be possible. Here's the thing. Again, I just want to say this.
Go ahead.
And I know you know this, and I know your audience does. Were you trying to say something, Pastor Dan? I'm sorry.
No, I just said go ahead. I keep forgetting I'm not in person. Just yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, well, there seems to be a little bit of a delay and a little bit of audio artifacts here, so I'm having a hard time just trying to figure out if you're trying to say something. I don't mean to step on you, so if you do want to interrupt or say something, just please speak up, brother. You know, the vaccine, I've done a lot of research on this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, but I am a researcher, and I do have my own show, and I've spoken about it much, and I have read from scientific articles. I have read from the FDA EUA website, FDA, Food and Drug Administration, EUA, Emergency Authorization Act, federal law, and what it says about the vaccine. I've watched the TED Talks on YouTube, highly popular scientific journal type documentary. A guy gets or a woman gets on stage and talks about whatever their level of expertise is. They go all over the world. And the chief medical officer of Moderna, which is where one of the vaccines is made, 5 or 6 years ago, he was on a TED Talk, and it's on the internet still. I've pulled it down and saved it just in case it's ever taken off, where he is talking about the mRNA technology. This is 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago they were working on it. This particular TED Talk was done 3 or 4 years ago, or at least it was put up on the internet then. But the bottom line is, he said, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to paraphrase it, and I'm going to get it almost precisely quoted here because I've done this so much, and I've listened to it so many times, and I've played it so many times over my radio program. But this guy who's involved in the initial research of putting together this mRNA process, this messenger process that goes from your cells, from the DNA to the cells in your body, it sends messages to the DNA and to the cells in your body, this biological chemical process that, and he said, we're now basically harnessing the ability to send these messages that changes the way your body responds to whatever is in your body or in your environment. And they talk about basically switching switches off and on in your DNA. So he summed it up by saying, quote, we are literally rewriting the code of life, end quote. And then he talked about how we're sending information to your DNA through the information we're putting in your arm or in a drug or a vaccine. And he said, now, you know, he was bragging about the wonderful things that could be done with this, that there could be a cure for cancer. And, of course, the whole audience was just applauding. This is all before COVID now. This is the chief medical officer of Moderna some years back before COVID talking about we could cure this, we could cure that. And listen, I'm all for that. I'm all for harnessing the power of our own, you know, genetic makeup. I mean, God said, you know, subdue the earth and conquer it. It's yours. But we've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Pastor Dan. So with all of the good we can do with the internet, look how much evil we've done and we're still doing. With all of the good we can do with medical science, look at the evil that has been done and is still being done. So this is the problem when they are admitting, long before COVID and before anybody really knew about an mRNA vaccine, they're admitting they are, quote, rewriting your genetic code when they introduce this information. In fact, he said, I would prefer not to call it a drug or a vaccine. I would prefer to call it information therapy. So, because they're admitting that they're changing, they're sending information into your body to communicate with the very makeup of your own body and changing information. Now, that's why I'm not going to take it, at least right now, and I'm not going to say never, never, but as far as I'm concerned, probably never, never, but I'm not going to take it now. It is an emergency use authorization vaccine. It is not approved by the FDA. That would take years to get done. And under federal law, if something is experimental, and if it's under EUA, it's experimental. Are you still there, Pastor Dan?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay, good. I just want to make sure. All right. If it's experimental, a citizen of this nation, under our own federal law, EUA law, says you cannot force a person to take an experimental drug or an experimental vaccine or to use an experimental process. You cannot, under law. So I'm not going to be somebody that's a guinea pig for the government. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Now, if some of your audience has already taken the vaccine, I do not judge anybody that's listening. First of all, I don't know your health condition. I'm not your doctor. Secondly, I don't know your family concerns and where you are in life and how old you are and who you associate with, you know, that you might believe that a vaccine might be your best bet. That's between you and the Lord and your family. I do not judge you, but I'm speaking to the truth of the people that have made this and how they talked about it 4 or 5 years ago. And now you're right. There are all kinds of reports and videos and information on the internet of people that have died from taking it, people that are having horrible reactions, doctors that are coming out expressing deep concerns. Now we've got these videos with people putting magnets on their arms, whether or not they're fake or not, who knows, but I mean, it could be. Plus, the World Health Organization, right after Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, that's my governor, and boy, do I love him, right after he issued an order that in Florida there would be no vaccine passports. And he said there will be none in this state. It will be illegal to require. Now, how can he do that? Very simply, he knows the federal law. See, the government, the federal government under Biden wasn't telling us these things. But Ron DeSantis knew what I knew and what others knew. He had actually read the law. So he knew he could say that, and there was nothing Biden could say about it. Well, I think, this is my humble opinion, to do damage control after DeSantis said that, Biden came out in the next day or two and said, oh, by the way, I'm not going to pass any kind of mandatory vaccine passport. I don't think we should have vaccine passports as a mandate in the United States. Well, Joe Biden, it's not that you don't think we shouldn't. It's that the law doesn't allow it. And so then right behind that, the World Health Organization, I read this in mainstream media, read it over my radio program. On the same day Biden said that, the World Health Organization said, and by the way, we are also not recommending vaccine passports on a global basis, and they said for two reasons. Number one, it's not as effective as we thought it was. Number two, they're talking about the vaccine in general. Number two, we do not know the long term of the effect of these vaccines yet. They actually said that. It was in print. I saw it. So anyway, that's what I have to say about that, Pastor Dan. I don't know about these magnets on the arms yet. I've seen the videos, but I don't like the way this vaccine is being weaponized. Let me just read to you 3 hours ago out of Joe Biden's office on Twitter. This is his official Twitter page, President Biden at POTUS. Here's what he just tweeted out 3 hours ago. Quote, "The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours." That's from the President of the United States. That is a coercion to the nth degree, which is a violation of federal law. But it's all over the internet, and people are just screaming about it right now because the president just threatened us that he was going to somehow make us wear a mask unless we take the vaccine. Now, that's also, if he tries to make us wear a mask, that is a violation of federal law, because the wearing of masks continually is also under EUA. It is an experimental process. We've never been required as a nation before, by law or rule, for everybody to mask up, and we don't know the long-term effects of that. We don't know all of the health hazards involved with it, although we know there are some. Therefore, it had to be approved by EUA, both the vaccine and the mandatory wearing of masks, or the kind of coerced wearing of masks, were both lodged under EUA under Donald Trump. And I'm not Donald Trump's spokesperson or apologist. I truly don't believe he had any nefarious purposes behind it. In the early days, when we didn't know what this COVID thing was, Donald Trump was out there trying to plug the hole in the dam everywhere there was one, like restricting flights coming in from China, guarding the borders more closely. The liberals called him a racist for doing so. You'll remember that. Getting the vaccines going, but he had to do it quickly, and he couldn't wait 5 years for an FDA approved, so he used EUA, which was his prerogative, but it just means you cannot force somebody by law to do an experimental procedure, wearing masks all the time, or take an experimental vaccine like the COVID vaccine. But today, Joe Biden basically tweeted out he doesn't care what the law says. That's what I think about it, brother.
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, the video that I saw, you know, it just came in just before radio, and so I haven't had a chance to, you know, look up anything or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to prove, folks. If you get a shot, try and stick a magnet on your arm and let me know. That's just
yeah.
Is that? That's the easiest way to find out, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's simply either easy debunk or not. I just wonder about here's the thing, Carl, that I really, really wonder about.
Yeah.
They know this vaccine is causing a lot of damage. They know that, you know, it's not all that effective. But so what do you think the reason is? I mean, what kind of reason could they possibly have to actually still want to force everybody to get something that they don't even know works or not?
Okay.
You know, that's a real question.
Yeah. Well, with your question worded like that, which is a very, very good way to word it, let me answer it according to how you just worded it. What could they possibly have up their sleeve to demand that we take a vaccine that the science has not proven it to be completely effective yet, nor do we know the long-term concerns of it. And we know that it is an experimental procedure, a procedure that's never been used in mass on human beings before. It's been used on lab rats for years, but not on human beings. What could be the reason? All right, there are two ends of the spectrum on this, in my opinion. At the most positive end, if you can say, I mean, at the least nefarious end of the scale, it is, number one, pure scientific ignorance that they think this is the be all and end all it's really going to work, it's really going to do something. But the way you worded it, like, well, if they know it's not, what could be the reason? Well, still at the low end of this spectrum could be the fact that it's a power play. It's a, like the mask. It's a way of kind of dividing out your nation and shaming, vaccine shaming. If they could ever get it approved by the FDA and require people to take it, then it could be used as a form of identification and a form of marking, if you will. It could be the at the low end of the spectrum, but still nefarious. It could be that the whole thing is just a test run to see how much influence and psychological manipulation they can put upon our entire population, to see what percentage they can get to stick a needle in their arm voluntarily just because the government says you're going to die if you don't, or oh my gosh, you need to do this, or you're not a good citizen. Now, why would they do that? Well, now that shifts to the other end of the spectrum, because once you've done that and you get a gauge on the percentage of your population that if you tell them there's a deadly disease out there, but don't worry, we can stick a needle in your arm and fix it, how many of them are going to run to the government? Well, if they determine that this works, and it works on the largest part of the herd, and I'm making air quotes here, then right. Guess what? With today's technology, you can do anything. You can mark everybody. You can put GPS devices in everybody. You, as weird as all this sounds, it's highly possible. You can put a time-release death capsule in everybody. You can do anything you want. And you talk about power, brother. You talk about power on a global basis. Right now,
seconds to break. Tell them where to find you. We'll come back and talk.
Okay, CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. I'm sorry if I went over.
Oh, that's all right, folks. Carl, folks, you go over there and check out his books, and really that's the best place to get his book, all his latest books. You can find a link over there up, and it's CarlGallops.com, let alone sermons and everything else in the world. You know, he talks a lot. He's a pastor, so you can find that stuff over there. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on Earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
What would you do if you had to tell a person the most important information in the world, but you knew they wouldn't believe you? Would you tell them? Well, most would. So what is the most important information in the world to all people, nations, and languages? the most important thing to do is to receive Jesus. But the most important thing not to do is don't take the mark of the beast, because those taking the mark of the beast do not get soul death, but are eternally tormented in hell. Revelation 14:11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, or whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." But how do you tell them? Give them the book, miss the mark. If they'll read this simple, thin, easy-to-read book, they will never take the mark of the beast. One for 20, but don't do that. We offer them in shrink-wrap sets of 10 to give away. One set of 10 for 30, two sets 45, four sets 70 at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to the Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking with Pastor Carl Gallatz, and we'll be back with him in just a second. And I know those of you that are listening live heard the commercial about the Mission Church. I just want to really encourage you to support us at the Wichita Mission Church. We're seeing increased numbers, and so we do really need your help. You know, all the things that we were doing inside, we're doing outside, and we're doing it outside because of different rules and just loads of reasons, so we have to do it outside. But we're still there, and the numbers are increasing. Even at the first of the month, which it drops lower, huge increase. Secondly, I want you to pray about supporting talk radio, if not my program, but other people that are independent. Pastor Carl, for one, he has a Freedom Friday radio program. You should support talk radio, because we're really trying to get at the truth. We're not feeding you lies and you know, at least trying not to feed you anything that we don't believe to be true. So you need to support us. Sooner or later, they're going to come against us. That's just inevitable. But you can donate online, mail a check or money order, give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. Carl, I still have one small question. I really want to move on to Israel because I want people to pray for Israel, and it's a pretty big deal. But you just got to wonder, are you there, by the way?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here. Yes, sir.
You just got to wonder, you know, we were created by the Father in his image, and when we go in and changing our very DNA and who we are, I just don't see how, you know, we're just not the same creation. I mean, I just got to wonder what the Father thinks about that. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I think I can answer that. My latest book, The Summoning, talks, it answers your question, and you know this. And thanks for throwing me this softball. Listen, Jesus said the last days before his return would be just like. Those are the words he used, not kind of like, not it feels like, not it will look similar to, just like the days of Noah. And he also said it'll be just like the days of Lot. When we study out the days of Noah, and I'm not going to get into the days of Lot because we've done this before and we need to move on to Jerusalem and Israel, like you said. But when you study out the days of Noah, one of the defining things that God himself says before he sends the flood and pushes the reset button, one of the defining things about the days of Noah was that all flesh had become corrupted. Now, brother, I know some translations say that all of humanity or all mankind, but in the Hebrew it doesn't say that. It says all flesh. And then when you look at the ark, where God is putting a certain number of people on the ark, and he declares they're the only righteous ones left, and then he puts a certain kind and number of animals on the ark, and he tells Noah, "I will bring these to you." He didn't tell Noah, "Go out and get any animal you want or get them from anywhere you want. I will bring to you the animals I want on the ark." I think God is showing us the picture that even he knew which ones were not corrupted. Now, what does the word corrupt mean? Well, the Hebrew, of course, they genetics and DNA and all of that had not yet been discovered by humanity. But, of course, God knew what it was. He invented all of this. So I think, this is my opinion now, I'm going into my opinion, but based upon science and based upon the impact of the Word of God here, he killed everything, Pastor Dan. He's killed it all. He pushed the reset button. And the reason he said was because they're corrupting all flesh. Anything man desires to do, they can do it. Why? Because all the way back in the garden, they had eaten whatever exactly it was from the tree of the fruit of good and evil. And one of the things Satan promised was if they would participate with him in all of his evil, is that they could be like the gods, little g, which means like the fallen angels, the fallen ones. They could be like those interdimensional beings. So we don't know what they knew before the flood, brother, other than what the Bible tells us, because everything was utterly destroyed. All we know is God said the whole earth was filled with evil. It was filled with demonic influence. The sons of God were coming unto the daughters of men and having children by them, however that was. Was there a certain class of angels that could literally procreate with the early humans? We don't know. We weren't there. We just know what the Bible says. Or were they using their knowledge of genetics and the creation event itself and manipulating the womb of the woman or the seed that's in the womb? I mean, that was Satan's punishment. From a womb of a woman will come a seed who's going to destroy you because of what you did. All we can do is just guess, but we do know what God said. I'm destroying everything. Because man, with the demonic realm's help, has corrupted all flesh. Brother, Jesus said it will be just like that again in the last days. And I'm declaring to the church and to your listeners, here we are. Here we are. We're the first generation since the flood to be able to mix human and animal DNA, to be able to, quote, rewrite the code of life. Like Moderna said, now it's being injected into people's arms all over the planet. Brother, we are there.
Yeah, and that is in, folks, that is in the book, The Summoning. You need to get this book. If you haven't got it already, and I know I tell you to get every one of Carl's books, but it has such great information. But Carl, that just swung a door wide open. I mean, come on, that is, by taking the shot, and you've got to be a personal decision, folks, but it seems that would be the corrupting the flesh as Yahweh made it, or God, however you want to put it. And so that puts us right there. And with everything else going on, glory, Yeshua is coming. That's all I can say. We're in that generation. Speaking of which, going over to Israel, as we are on radio right now, the IDF has been invading Gaza. What do you think about all that, Carl? And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah, more we than do. Yeah. Here's what I think about all that, Pastor Dan, and I'm honored that you asked my opinion. First of all, listen, I am a huge supporter of Israel, and it is my humble opinion, based upon everything I know about this situation, they have every right to defend themselves. This whole melee, from what I understand, I could be corrected on this, but from everything I've read, it started on the Temple Mount. Wow, imagine that. In downtown Jerusalem, imagine that. And it started with the Palestinians, with an uprising, and the Israeli military and police having to go in and put it down, and people were shot. I think maybe somebody was killed. Kind of like in the United States, one of these BLM riots, where they focus in on, a white officer that has shot a black person. And the next thing you know, the whole nation explodes, and especially the particular city in which it happened, and on and on and on. It's very similar. It's that same demonic spirit that kicked the whole thing off. Now, what happened was, just several weeks before, Biden, continuing the Obama policy that Trump had stopped and Biden restarted, started pouring billions of dollars into Iran. Well,
Iran is hooked at the hip with Hamas. Hamas is their proxy terrorist group. Where are they located? Well, they're in Syria. Guess where else they are? Gaza. From Gaza to Jerusalem, as the crow flies, is less than 100 miles. You can shoot way less than 100 miles that you can shoot a rocket as the crow flies. So what happens after, coincidentally, after Iran gets billions and billions of dollars? Gaza starts shooting millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of rockets into Jerusalem, and now into Tel Aviv, and now all over Israel. I mean, they've basically declared war. So what is Israel supposed to do? Well, they sent in fighter jets and warplanes. They've, as of early this morning, they said there were 80 dead and, you know, 20 children, and some of those, of course, are Israelis from all the rocket attack. I mean, it's like a small-scale, all-out war right now. Now, is it going to continue to escalate? Is it going to pull other nations in? Is the Middle East going to get on fire? I mean, is this one of those biblically prophesied wars of the last days centered on Israel and, of all things, Jerusalem? It could very well be. But, look, IDF, yeah. I mean, if I was calling the shots over there, also, beside bathing everything in prayer and being deeply concerned, I would call the IDF in as well. They're talking about putting troops on the ground in Gaza. That may be something that they need to do to get this thing stopped and under control. It's the only thing that the BLM or the Palestinians or the Antifa, it's the only thing they recognize is force, overwhelming force, sometimes brutal force. Otherwise, they just keep getting away. They're like petulant children. If their hand is slapped hard, they'll just keep doing what they're doing if there are no consequences. So it's a horrible situation. It is demonic. Satan is behind it all. And my heart breaks for the number of innocent people. Listen to me, brother, on both sides. There are innocent Palestinian families in Gaza, and they're not really Palestinians. That's a misnomer. Arab families in Gaza. They're innocent. Some of them are. I mean, I'm not the judge of who is and who isn't. But there are moms and dads and brothers and sisters and families that just want to get up and mow the grass and pay the bills and go to work and get an education and try to eke out some kind of a life in a very, very destitute area run by mobsters and terrorists. And in Israel, there are a lot of innocent people taking a beating that were just going on with their lives one day, and the next day they're in another war. So it's a horrible mess. I pray for Israel. I pray for the innocents all over the place, all over the Middle East that are caught up in the midst of this, and maybe the more innocent ones that are going to be caught up in it as time goes on. But listen, that's my answer to your first question. If you want, I can go down a scriptural timeline of what we might be looking at. I wrote about it today and put it on social media, and it's gone pretty viral. But anyway, that's the first part of my answer, brother. I don't know if that helps or not.
That helps, and I do want to hear that because I haven't had a chance to read it. But I will say this about, in confirmation of what you said, I know you've heard of Walid Shoeback, right?
He is. Oh, yeah.
I'll use kind of his words. I had him on radio a number of years ago. I was interviewing him about his book, God's War on Terror, that he wrote with Joel Richardson. And in the interview we were talking, and he said, I'm actually a Jordanian, I was a Jordanian terrorist. But he said, I woke up one day and I was told I was not a Jordanian anymore. And all of a sudden I was a Palestinian. And he said, that's bogus. He said, I'm a Jordanian terrorist. And that was from Walid Shoeback, folks, out of the mouth of a terrorist. There is no such thing as the, of Palestinian people. But yeah, I'd like you to get into that. Tell me, Carl, I haven't had a chance to see it. I know I got you on Facebook, but I haven't seen it. I'd like to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. First of all, I'm going to go down this timeline, and I'm just going to connect some biblical dots. And where my opinion comes in, I will say that, but I also want your audience to know I'm not necessarily saying that what's happening now is the complete fulfillment of the bottom line of where I'm going with this. I'm not saying that yet. Also, I'm not a date setter. So I'm not saying, okay, folks, and 3 months from now comes the rapture, and you know, I don't do that. I do not do that. So please don't hear me wrong, folks. But I'm just going to go down the scriptures very quickly and let you know what we might be watching unfold. And it's like the vaccine. You know, people say, is that the mark of the beast? I say, well, it could turn out to be. I don't think it meets the requirements of the mark of the beast right now, but it could be a precursor to it, because people are running around by the billions saying, give me the mark, give me the mark. So it could be a precursor. Well, what's happening in Israel might be what I'm getting ready to lay out, or it could be a precursor. Now, having said that, let me remind your audience, and your audience and you, Pastor Dan, you guys know everything I'm going to say, but I'm putting it in a context, and I'm putting it in an easy-to-follow timeline. Ezekiel 37, we'll start there. Very quickly, the synopsis of that whole prophecy, the breathing life into the dead bones in the valley. It is a prophecy of the return of Israel in the last days. And it actually says that. And they will be under one king. Why? Because Ezekiel had just come. He was in captivity because Israel had gone through civil war, and it was under two kings. And one of the northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity. Now the southern kingdom was going into captivity, and Israel was gone, and they were lost. And it was a divided land. And in the last days, God said, I will bring them back to the land. They'll be under one king. And it talks about how it will come to life. It will resurrect in the last days. Well, Isaiah 49 then goes on to talk about that rebirth. And I've preached on it. I've taught on it. I've even come on your show and talked about this. Because people say, well, that Israel over there, that's not the real thing. That's not God's work. Oh, yes, it is. Isaiah 49 says this. The rebirth of Israel would happen in the last days before the return of the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is what it says if you read the whole chapter. Secondly, it says it will happen with help from the Gentile nations. In fact, the Gentile nations would make it happen. That's exactly what happened in 1948. Balfour Declaration before that, the United Nations Declaration, the division of Palestine into the Arab people and the Israeli people, and there's where Palestine comes in. That's a Roman word for that region. And then there were Jewish Palestinians, Israeli Palestinians, there were Arab Palestinians. You could be an English American Palestinian if you lived over there. But then, you know, the whole term Palestinian became corrupted. But bottom line, Isaiah 49 says, it'll happen in the last days, they will come back. The Gentile nations, God would use the Gentile nations to bring them back. And then it also says that Israel, the returned Israel, would be much smaller than the original Israel, and that they would be constantly saying, well, it's not big enough, there are too many of us. In other words, there would be more Israelites living in that area than ever before. All of those things are true. All of those things are true about the returned Israel. There's not a single passage in the scriptures that prophesies a fake Israel in the last days. If there was a fake Israel in the last days, that would be huge. And Jesus would have told us, the scriptures would have told us, the prophets would have told us. They don't tell us that. What they tell us is, in the last days, there will be a real Israel, really reborn, really the Gentiles did it, really it will be smaller than its original, and there will be more Jews living there than ever before. All of that is right before our eyes. Then it goes on to say in Ezekiel 39, once that nation is there, and it's strong, and it's protected, and technology is flowing out of it, and everything's blooming back to life in front of the nations will be driven to rage, they'll be driven to jealousy, and a coalition of nations will begin to form that wants them out. And the coalition of nations is actually named in Ezekiel 39, and when you look at those tribes and extrapolate them to the nations of the world to which they correspond today, every one of them are either totally Muslim nations, which Islam wasn't even invented in Ezekiel's day, or they are highly Muslim influenced. Like Russia, for example, is not a totally Muslim nation, but Islam is a officially recognized religion of the state, and it's the second largest religion in Russia. So you got all of that. And it also says in that prophecy that Iran would be one of the chiefest players in this coalition. Iran. Actually, it says Persia, but that's the ancient name for Iran. And so then it talks about this mysterious Gog and Magog, who nobody seems to be able to agree. I mean, we can all agree that Persia is Iran. That's not a big deal. Until the middle 1935, and on any globe or map, there was a region over there labeled Persia. Well, now it's called Iran. So we know that. Gog and Magog, people are divided over it, but we do know that this mysterious Magog and Gog are connected to Iran, and we now know that Iran is connected to Hamas, and they are in Gaza, and we now know that Biden just gave billions of dollars to Persia, and we now know that Hamas, which is their proxy, is shooting missiles in and maybe starting World War III right before our eyes. And the Bible talks about all of this, brother. We also know that in 2018, please forgive me, Donald Trump advanced and orchestrated the return of Jerusalem to the returned Israel and made it the official capital. He and Israel did it, but that's when that happened. And then we know that in 2021, Biden comes in office, again, gives the money to Persia, basically turns everything around. Weeks later, this war breaks out, starting on the Temple Mount. Now, the Bible talks about Jerusalem being surrounded in the last days by the nations of the world. Zechariah 12, verses 2 through 4 talks about it. Jesus talks about it in Luke 21, 19 through 20. And the whole inference is that the returned Israel now somehow has its hands on Jerusalem. And the nations go crazy. In fact, Zechariah 12 says that God says, "Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to the surrounding nations." The people will just go out of their minds that Jerusalem is back in the hands of a returned Israel. And Zechariah says, "And on that day, when all the nations of the earth are going to gather against her, and on that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. Everybody that will try to heave it away or tear it away," and the inference is from Israel, "will be severely injured on that day, declares the Lord. I will strike every horse with panic, every rider with madness. I will keep a watchful eye on the house of Judah, but I will strike with blindness all the horses of all the nations." Zechariah 12. Well, that can't come true unless Israel is back in the land and unless Jerusalem belongs to Israel. Hello? Not only did that happen 73 years ago, but Jerusalem being returned to Israel just happened a couple of years ago under Donald Trump. And just a couple of weeks ago, Biden and his administration ships billions of dollars into Iran, and now Hamas is shooting missiles into Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. I think we're getting really close. I could be wrong. This could all be just a precursor to what's actually going to happen, but there is a generation coming that's going to see all of this fulfilled, and I'm saying if we're not that generation actually watching it happen right now, we are a generation seeing how quickly it's going to happen and how easily it's going to happen and how suddenly it's going to happen. When the world is crying, peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. Now, I'm telling you this. What do the threat of major world wars, what could they possibly bring? It could possibly bring, watch this, a peace treaty. It could be the whole world is panicking and somebody arises in the midst of all of this and gets Israel and the Palestinians to sign a peace treaty. Brother, do you see these connections and where we might be? That's all I'm asking the church to look at. Dan?
I'm here. I had my mute button, so I didn't interrupt you. Anyway, yes, I believe that we're close. I was talking on a previous radio program about how all these things can escalate just so super fast, but how the unsaved still won't get it. You understand what I'm saying? Those that don't have a personal relationship, they're not going to get it clear up to the time that it happens. It'll only be the body of Messiah that knows that. We got about 2 minutes, so you can finish that up and then just say goodbye, I guess. Tell them where you're from.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm pretty finished with it. And you're right. I mean, the Bible tells us the last days they will mock everything we say about this. But that's why I'm quoting all this scripture, because God's people know that I'm telling the truth about those scriptures being there. Some of God's people may disagree with the way I'm interpreting it, and that's fine. That's fine. And I've said very clearly, this is my opinion. Now, the scripture is not my opinion, but the connecting of the dots and where we might be, that is my opinion. And I'm willing to be wrong and pray that I am wrong as far as our lives go, but there is coming a generation that's going to see it happen. And that's all I'm saying. But we're watching something very prophetic unfold. How can it not be prophetic when it involves the Temple Mount, Jerusalem, a returned Israel, terrorists that are connected to Persia? How can this not be prophetic? That's all I'm saying. People can find me at carlgallops.com. Everything about me. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for having me on tonight. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Last thing I'll just throw in there on top of it as I say goodbye. He'll bless them that bless it, Israel, and he'll curse them that curse it. And we had blessings under Donald Trump, and seems like we're having a lot of curses under Biden. Anyway, thanks for being on. We'll talk again, Carl. Be blessed.
Thank you. You as well. God bless you.
Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallup's eye-opening radio program. I didn't realize we were going to get more into COVID. I'm glad, very glad that we did. And I'm glad for this timeline. Now, you can find Carl Gallup's on, you can also find him on Facebook if you're still a Facebook user. And he said he posted all this to Facebook earlier. And so, you know, you should check him out. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, a donation tonight would really, really be a big help. And all you folks, as you get this program, it goes to podcast, pray about giving us a PayPal donation. I could really use it. And also support radio. Radio, we're out there on a limb. They're going to come against us. They are going to come against us at some point. So pray about supporting talk radio. If not our program, Carl's or even Frank's or any of the other ones on American Voice Radio, there's a lot of people out there talking. Share these radio programs. But, folks, really, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, you would please, please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.